I do want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning from all across the land. We have people every week that join us from different states and even other countries, and so we're glad that you're here, and many are listening on a podcast right now. So let's welcome all those folks that are online and that are listening. Glad that you're here. Yes, we are. So the last 2 weeks, I've been preaching a two-part little series about justice is coming. And that was a big deal in the Old West. When you watch an Old West movie or read an Old Western book, there's always a hero that brings justice to the situation. And just talked about how the church responds to justice. And man, the people in South Carolina are just living that story out. What we would say a textbook way, a Bible way, a biblical way. It's just a beautiful thing to see them. So please continue to pray for those folks. And so today and next Sunday, we're going to wrap up this series next Sunday. We're going to take two different parts of the Western Code, the Old West Code, and talk to you about them. This week's going to be, as you see there, your word is your bond. And then next week, Pastor Will is going to preach on writing for the brand. But I want to speak to you just a minute about your word is your bond. And I want to give a Father's Day gift to all of you men out there and women. You get to participate in this as well. This is going to be a really short sermon. Okay, so happy Father's Day to you all. And this is kind of a gift to me too, because I get to leave early as well. So your word is your bond. When I was growing up, my dad, which is here, happy Father's Day, Rob. He would always teach me things, and that's why I say I have a really good dad, a really good biological dad. Taught me things by what he said to me, but also the way he lived them out. And he just recently went back in history and did a lot of research on our family. And we had known bits and pieces about our family, but we just now went back to the records in the county seat where our family started in Blanco County, and started really digging up all the old archives of our family and figuring out what it was. And we've come to this conclusion that in 1870 to 1873, my great-great-great, that's three greats, grandfathers named Alfred Middleton came to Spicewood, Texas, and settled some land. He didn't have to buy it because they weren't buying land back then. He just said, this will be ours. This will be the Middletons. And he staked it out and filed that. We actually have records of those claims. Then over the years, he and his sons, Bart Middleton and Drew Middleton, just sounds like an Old West kind of family, doesn't it? And they began to acquire more land over time, and then they started buying land, and they came up with about 1,700 acres, a ranch that still exists to this day, been passed down all the way through the generations. And now there's just an old chimney of our family that my great-great-great-grandfather built so many years ago, over 100 years ago. And so he passed his legacy on to his kids, mainly to Bart, his one of his sons, and then Bart raised my great grandfather. His name was Maurice Middleton. He was known by M.E., the initials M.E. Middleton, and that was my great grandfather. That was my dad's grandfather, and I was about 12 years old when he passed away. So when I was a little kid, I used to go out to the ranch, we called it, and just hang out with my great grandfather. And he was born in 1900 or 1905, thank you. And he was born in 1905. He was this link to the old days. He was a link to the old West. And he still had that oldness to him that he could remember as a kid. One of his uncles that went by the wayside and became a gun-slinging outlaw, and remembers him riding up on his horse dressed in black, telling the family he was leaving to Louisiana to go find a place to hide out. So those of you from Louisiana, we got a lot of Louisiana folks. Stay away from the Middletons over there in Louisiana, okay? But He remembers that. He remembers the old days of the cowboys and the Indians and all that kind of stuff. And so he would pass on to my grandmother and then to my father and his brothers and sisters this code. And one of the one thing I remember that my dad's taught me from my great-grandfather was, when you say something, you do it. If you say something to someone, if you look them in the eye and say, I will be faithful to you, then you do that. You're faithful to that person. Your word is your bond, not your contract or your signed name or the legal law that requires you to do it. No, if you say it, your word, that is what locks you in, because you said it, that's your bond. That's a code of the old West. Things like, I will pay you back. And what does that mean? That means that you will what? That means you're gonna pay them back. It's not real complicated, right? I will pay you back. You look in the eye, you shake their hand, and that word that you spoke is your covenant with them. I will pay you back. Now, we can sign a contract. That's just a formality. And that'll just remind me that I said what I said is what I said. But I don't need a contract, and I don't need that stuff for me to keep what I'm saying, because I'm telling you. And because I'm telling you, I mean it. So your word is your bond. I'll pay you back. What about this? I'll be faithful to you in marriage. That means I will be faithful to you in marriage. That's what that means. I will support you. I will help you. I will mow the grass this weekend. Is your word your bond, people? Come on now. Men and women both. I will mow the grass this weekend. I will not look at pornography. I will be at your baseball game tonight. And then when little Johnny's out on the baseball field and he looks up into the stands, what does he see? He sees you. Why? Because you said, I will be there tonight. That's your word. That's your bond. I will pay my child support. I will do that. I will support my coworkers, not talk behind their back. All these words that we say mean something. You know the old children's little rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a complete lie. That is a complete lie. That is not true at all. That's someone creating false sense of confidence that what you say doesn't matter to me. Oh, it does. We don't find our confidence in that false sense of security. Find our confidence in God. And so when we say something, words matter. They do. Words create worlds. Words bless. In the Bible, the words of people, they bless their children. In fact, there's a whole huge pivotal story in the Bible about Isaac blessing his kids. It was a big thing. Integrity is what we're talking about today. Integrity is when you fulfill a moral or ethical principle. You live by morals. You live by ethics. When people are looking, and what else? Especially when people are not looking. When no one else would know if you took that money or not. What kind of ethics do you have? What kind of morals do you have? When no one else would even know about it, will you keep your integrity? Your integrity, think about integrity as a foundation that is secure and stable. This foundation I'm standing on, this platform, has integrity, meaning that I can walk all across this platform and I'm not gonna fall through it. It's gonna hold me up. There's integrity in the concrete that you're sitting on. It's not gonna cave in. It's not gonna fall through because it's solid. It has integrity. And that's when we examine our own life, when we look at our own self, what is the level or the value of your integrity? Proverbs, the 10th chapter, the 9th proverb there in chapter 10, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. If you want to have a secure life, you walk in integrity. That's secure. But he who makes his way crooked will be found out. Then Jesus in Matthew, the fifth chapter, while he's preaching his Sermon on the Mount, one of his most famous messages, he said, "You've also heard that our ancestors were told you must not break your vow. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, I promise this time." Don't say that. By heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the great city, the city of the great king. This is, he's saying, you know, quit swearing, quit saying this time, I promise. And by, if it even says in verse 36, don't even say by my head. Like, you can kill me if I don't do this, because you can't turn one hair white or black. Here it is, verse 37. This is his whole point. Just say a simple, yes, I will. Or, no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. The evil one. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about evil and the effects of evil, and we've been fleeing from evil, and we've been wanting to be a part of the solution. Here is a way that we're a part of the solution. And instead of saying, I promise this time I'm going to do it, and I swear this time I'm going to do it, as God is my witness this time, I'm going to do it. You know what? Jesus just telling us, just shut it. Just stop saying all that. That's not, you don't need to say all that. You just need to live your life in a way that when you say, yes, I will do it, people say, okay, he's going to do it. I trust that he's going to do it because this is a man or a woman of integrity. When you say, yes, I will do it, if they're wondering, if they're questioning, if they're trying to figure out, then you've been influenced by the evil one and you've allowed your integrity to be shot. And now they're trying to figure out, well, I don't know about this time. What's he going to say about this time? And so as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus, we don't need anything else but our word to keep us to keep our word. We don't need anything else. I mentioned earlier contracts, and we live in a generation of contracts. We're signing contracts. We're signing things where you go on that computer to agree to something and you're scrolling through 17 pages of stuff and you just hit agree at the end. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? This is church. Go ahead and confess. You didn't read any of that stuff. You didn't read any of it. You just agreed to it. I'm just trying to download Clash of Clans, okay? I don't want to read 17 pages of disclaimer, okay. But you just agreed to whatever that was. You just said, yes, I agree to it. And so it's not a sin to sign a contract. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's good to remind you of what you said. And that's why I'm a believer in having agreements and contracts and things like that. But they just simply confirm what you said with your mouth. Because I'm getting old and I'm forgetting things that I said with my mouth. And I forget that I did promise something or say something about something. And just a few months ago, when Pastor Harry was going to plant the church in Austin, we had this whole plan laid out for his transition from here to there and how the church was, this Promised Land church was going to pay for certain things and pay for some of its insurance and things like that until he got settled up over there. And we're still taking care of some of that stuff and helping them. But there was one point right before the end of the year when I just had this idea to do something. I went ahead and told Mike to go ahead and do something. And then it came back to me. I can't remember if I said that I would do that or not. And so I asked Harry, I said, did I say that I would do that? And he said, yeah, you did say you would do that. And I said, okay, well, Mike, forget what I just told you because I already told him that I would do that. And so if I said that I will do that, then that's what we got to do. Even if it hurts, even if it's not something I want to do right now, I said that I would do that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to honor what I said. So think about just for a second. I know some of you have been thinking about people already, but I want you to think about just for a second. Please don't say any names out loud. Don't be glaring at people across the room or elbowing your wife or anything like that. Just think about somebody you know that is just challenged in this way, that they just struggle with keeping their commitments. They don't follow through. They say something and then they don't back it up. And then whenever they whenever they get caught, they're slimy and they just, they put excuses on it. Oh, this time this happened. This was their fault. And they said that I know I said that, but what I meant was that, you know, they're just excuses and pushing back. And y'all know somebody like that? I know some people like that. Slimy, right? But then think about folks on the other side of the spectrum. Think about folks that they just always keep their word. You know anybody like that? They just, if they say it, they're gonna do it. And they may not be the best looking person you know, or the smartest person you know, or the strongest person you know, but you can just count on them. If they say it, they're gonna back it up. That brings on a whole nother emotional sensation to think about those people. Can kind of get emotional a little bit to think about someone in your life. Maybe it was a mother or a father or a friend or a teacher or your boss right now or whoever. So today, I told you the sermon's going to be short. Give me 5 more minutes and I want to give you 4 ways to not be slimy. Okay, I want to give you 4 ways to not be slimy. All right, here it goes. I'm going fast. Number one, don't say things you can't back up. And I just said I was going to do this in 5 minutes. I said that. I better go fast. All right. Don't say things you can't back up. And know for sure. Know what your boundaries are. Stick with them. Don't overextend yourself. We always want to be approved by other people. We want them to accept us. We want them to like us. And so we're tempted to say things beyond what we can back up. And then we'll say, oh, well, someday I'll be able to back that up. I can't back it up right now, but someday I will be. So I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to speak by faith. No, you're not speaking by faith. You're lying. Don't say things you can't back up. Y'all with me? Jesus said in Luke 16:10, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. If you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? That's a good question. We often, our culture tells us that bigger is better and that more is better. And if you have the most, that's the best. If you're the best, you're the best. But Jesus says, no, if you're good at little things, now we're talking. If you can be faithful in little things, then let's start with that. I don't need you to do big things. I don't need you to jump out and say this or say that. No, let's just start with little things, be faithful over little things, and then we'll go from there. And start with little earthly things. Like, I remember my parents teaching me when I was a kid about my stereo that I had. I had a boombox. You know what I'm talking about? Back in the 80s. And I had trashed it. I had torn it up. There was holes in it. They're like, if you can't take care of this radio, why would we ever get you a car someday? I was like, can we start over? Can I please start over with something? Little things lead to big things. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in big things. So number one, don't say things you can't back up. Number two, before you say anything, think. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. Slow down. Think clearly. Think clearly. James 1:19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen and slow to what? Speak. Slow to speak. Slow to get angry. Proverbs 17:27, a truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even tempered. Just quit talking as much and people think you're smarter than you really are. That's the bottom line right there. Quit talking so much and people think you're wise, lest you open your mouth and prove that you are not wise. Proverbs 21:23, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. I love that passage. Keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. So think before you speak. Now we've thought about this before we've talked. We have made an idea in our heart of mind about what we can accomplish, and then we say something, then we talk, then we shake on it. We look at each other now, we sign it. Whatever we do, we make that covenant. And then number three, do everything in your power to fulfill what you've said. Do everything you can. Do everything you can to fulfill your word. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. And we use that text to talk about when you go to work. When you go to work and you're working for your boss, work as if you're working for the Lord, not for the boss, but for the Lord. That'll help you be a great worker. And that's true. But think about it in this context. It's a little bit different. When you are fulfilling your vows to other people, when you said, yes, I will do it, no, I won't, and then you don't really want to accomplish that thing, and then maybe they've done you wrong between the time you gave the covenant and now, are you still going to be a person of your word? Yeah, because I'm first doing it for the Lord first, and then I'm doing it for man. So I'm working hard. I'm heartily working to fulfill my word because it's first to God, and then it's to this person. For Psalm 15, I want to skip to verse 4. Psalm 15 and 4, this is talking about who may worship in the sanctuary of the Lord. He gives all these examples. Those that live right, those that speak the truth with sincere hearts, those who refuse gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends, those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. What a great verse that is right there. Who keep their promises even when it hurts. Sometimes you may give your word to someone and then they do you wrong. And then you're up the creek a little bit. Do I still have to fulfill what I said when they have obviously done something that's against me? And we look at Jesus. He fulfilled his covenant while we were sinning. While we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. So we follow after Jesus and we live out the gospel when we're faithful to what we say we're going to do, even in the face of someone being disobedient to us, disrespectful to us, dishonoring to us, not even appreciating the fact that we're doing everything we can to fulfill what we told them. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it costs money. Sometimes it costs you twice what you thought it would cost you. Well, I thought it would only cost me this, but I gave my word, so I'm going to go through with it. And then number four, communicate and confess when you fall short. Communicate and confess. I'm 1 minute over and I'm confessing to you right now. I'm communicating to you right now that I failed. That's so important. I make a joke about it, but this is huge. If and when you mess it up, do not hide it. Do not try to push it under like it doesn't mean anything. You need to own it. You need to communicate that you own it, and you need to communicate that it is completely your fault. I'm at sin. I'm at fault. I have not accomplished what I told you I was going to accomplish. And I want you to know that I'm sorry, and I want you to hold me accountable. James 5:16 says that our healing comes from this. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's where healing comes from. The Bible says if we confess our sins to the Lord, we are forgiven of all of our sin and all of our iniquity. But if you want healing beyond the forgiveness, we confess our sin to another human being, and that's when we find healing from that sin, not just forgiveness of that sin. That's good. That's awesome. So won't you stand with me today? Let's pray right now that God is going to work in our hearts. I don't know how this hits you. Maybe you're one that has been one that's not really valued this. This has not been a part of your code. Your code was just survival. I just need to make it. And if that meant stepping on others or lying or not being honest or not having integrity, then I have good news for you. Jesus Christ is going to come into your life and he's going to give you the power to fulfill the words that you've spoken. And then sometimes we just need to stop talking as much, stop promising as much, being more open and honest and transparent with people. So let's pray this morning. Let's pray right now for everybody in here that has been on that side of it. And then I also want to pray for healing this morning. Some of you have been betrayed. You've been lied to often. You've been left. Maybe it was by a parent. Maybe it was by a father. And you're left stranded. I have good news for you today too, that Jesus Christ has come today to bring healing to your heart. To bring healing, no matter if you're the one on this side of the fence or you're the one on this side of the fence, Jesus is here today. He's present. Just like that first song we sang, God is here. God is here. God is present. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Happy Father's Day to you, God. Thank you for loving us when we didn't even love ourselves. Thank you for creating this world and putting us as stewards and managers over it. We want you to know today, God, we failed at it. We have not done well at it. But we're so thankful we look to you, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and our Lord, that when we have failed, you're here to bring us a new beginning, a new season. So, Lord, we receive you today. Why don't we all just say that right now? Lord, we receive you today. We receive you, Jesus. Come into our hearts today. Please forgive us of our sin. Please cleanse us of anything in our heart that's not of you, God. Lord, we speak out and we cry out to you today, Father, for your will to be done, for you to make a difference by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. 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 All right.